Welcome to the Doghouse. One thing we learned this weekend is that Gretzky Aglu should not go to Las Vegas. He's not very good at gambling. Didn't work out well for him this weekend. Not that he had a bad weekend, but it's like when some guy who never runs a soft front tire, never decides he's going to do it when he's at match point. That's not a gamble that was necessary.
Yeah, that's like being a tennis player and being like, hey, I got the biggest tournament on the line. I'm going to switch to a badminton racket.
Yeah, right.
I just don't get where that was going.
I don't know why. I don't know why. He never runs the soft front tire because he's harder than anybody else is on the front tire. He's a medium at best and generally hard, right? And so when I heard that, I said, oh, God, this is not going to end in a good way. Well, he won that race. He won the race that he had the soft tire on. But what that tells me is that, okay, you experimented. You could have wrecked, which could have changed the outcome of the championship if you wreck. Then he corrects all that and has, I thought, a horrible performance in the second race.
Here's where I'm confused. Because I kind of watched the races, not paying attention to the races, as I was trying to figure out where my damn math was. Chris, for some reason, I thought if he pulled three podiums, he locked it up. But he hasn't.
No, he hasn't. Yeah, he hasn't.
And I don't know where my math was wrong. I don't know.
I think he mathematically sealed it up only with three wins. That's the only way. I think that if he just gets podiums, you know, this past weekend plus through next weekend, then he can't
it's
be caught.
It's still really hard.
It's very, very hard.
I just take the music out.
It's very, very hard. And part of it probably is that maybe his head's swelling up a little bit. Like you had said before, you thought that he knows he's going to MotoGP now. And so his mind's not on it. Who knows?
But he was kind of like, oh, I wonder if he was spending more time. You know, I always say sometimes your head goes up your ass and you screw yourself.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's spending more time trying to figure out what his championship celebration was going to be than concentrating on having a championship celebration.
It's probably some of that. I think I think it's really weird because like I felt really good picking him for all three races because of an interview he did on Friday. And on the interview he did on Friday, I mean, he was very intense, more intense than Gretzky Aglu, who's not usually the most intense guy. He's pretty relaxed. He was very intense, said, all I care about this weekend is I want to get a hat trick. I just want to get the hat trick.
I mean, and he was very, very close.
Well, I mean, when there's only two people in the race, him and Buliga,
I mean, we're complaining. The guy won two out of three races this weekend and came second in the other.
Yeah. No, but, I know. I said that. Even when he made the bad choice, did the gamble, he still won that race. But he did that. It's like anything less than perfect. I think we're going to find something to critique. I get that, right? But I think he would be the first guy to do that. And I'm not quite sure why, but he's been so dominating the second half of the season. And Buliga had that one good weekend. And we all said, that's going to be it, right? He's just showing.
Yeah, but that was last weekend where Buliga took two out of three.
Yeah.
And had the second, right? Yeah. But other than that, I mean, I feel like we're kicking the guy for no reason.
No, I mean, I think he's kicking himself more. I mean, I picked him. I felt very comfortable picking him because it was like he said, I want to finish this out right, you know? So I want to get those match points, right, that I can get. And he was just very intense about wanting the hat trick. And that was serious. I mean, he's won plenty at that track before. It's not like this is a track he doesn't win at. So but he wanted the hat trick. He has never gotten a hat trick at that track. So just, you know, I'm not quite sure why you would ever take a gamble. Okay, it's not like it didn't work out for you, but it didn't really work out for you if you look at how fast he was in race one versus how he was in the sprint, right, or the Super Pole race.
Yeah.
So I just don't know why you do that. That's almost like my head swelling up a little bit, and I think I'm just that good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Your head goes up your ass, right?
Yep. Like, yep. Like, well, you know, he's gonna have a really tough time. I mean, if I was him, I'd be looking at, you know, I'd be looking at what's going on in MotoGP on the Yamahas right now. They're all the Yamaha satellites and everything are running the V4, the new V4 engine. There's no miracles that are coming in this offseason for Yamaha. I don't know that he's going to be able to handle being a mid-pack racer. He's never been able to. He hasn't had to do it when he was in Super Sport. He dominated, right? Yeah. And so far since he's been in Superbike, he's dominated.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he adapts to that. Some riders do not adapt to it well.
Yeah, I thought this was a bad choice for him.
I agree. I think it is. I think it was a horrible choice. Over
when he was like 21, 22.
I don't think Yamaha, you know, season. Yamaha's in development. Maybe they're 2-3 years off from having a competitive bike. He doesn't have 3 years to waste. He's not a young kid.
Right. That puts him in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
He's 33, he's, 34, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he doesn't have the time for that. To me, it would have been better if he would have gone to Honda. Realistically, Honda's at least developed speed.
Oh,
I mean, if you notice how fast Honda's been, but I know, but you know, so Honda's been fast lately and not been crashing nearly as much. So they're making real progress. Yamaha picked up like a 10th in a lap, you know, with their motor work. And the bike's always handled well. It just does not have the speed. There's not enough grunt
to keep up.
No, it doesn't have the grunt.
Right now you can corner all you want and you just don't have the grunt to pick up.
But the Hondas do. The Hondas do. So does that mean the Honda's going to be a competitive bike next season? No, but I think it's got a better chance than Yamaha right now.
Yeah.
And that's the last. And not only that, that's the last year of the 1,000 CCs, right? Then we're going to be at the 800. So.
Yeah. And Honda looks like they're heading in the right direction more than Yamaha does.
At least on the engine development side, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, then all that goes out the window.
I think Yamaha's counting on all the other bikes when they dropped 800 CCs being as slow as them. That's what they're hoping for.
They found like a rule where they can stay at 1,000 cc because they're slow.
So anyway, so that was kind of a weird race. I do like the fact that Johnny Ray has been showing little sparks lately, but you know, he can't maintain it. That bike just there's no way you burn that bike. You have to burn that bike up completely to be in the leading pack when you get in the final third of the race, and it just doesn't make it to the race. It doesn't make it through the race.
Yeah. It's just,
and dumb. he burned his tires up completely and he couldn't even keep his teammate off of him at the end. So,
speaking of, and I know they're not actual teammates, but I forgot. I wanted to do a comparison before we started the show. And I forgot, I wanted to see where Fong compared to Kurloff was, but looks like Kurloff beat him. I know they're not teammates, but they're both Americans, and we're all Team America.
Right.
So I just wanted to see where he was at. I actually paid more attention to where Bobby Fong was, knowing he didn't have a chance of winning and probably not a chance at a top 10. I was just kind of curious on how he did and, you know, just, I don't know. It's just being a Fong.
It's kind of meaningless, but yeah, I get the curiosity part. Right? Yeah,
it's the curiosity. Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of now, I mean, I guess it gives us something to watch for next weekend or this. I'm sorry. I guess it's this weekend, right?
I think it's this weekend. Is this a doubles weekend?
I believe it is.
Oof.
I believe it is.
The way people have been picking this season, it won't change much.
No, because there's nothing.
Except we have one guy in the pool who's actually trying to lose. I've noticed that.
He got caught into what I got caught into a couple years ago.
No, he's trying to lose.
Trying to long shots, isn't he?
No, he's trying to lose. Really?
Okay.
He's won the pool twice, and he's decided, I don't care anymore, so I'll give someone else a chance.
More than that, I think because he always like side messages me and yells at me.
Yeah.
For picking like my long shots and going like for the last 3 years. And I think he's showing me that even he can't pick winners doing that.
But I think he's taking the I got nothing to lose type approach to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, now he's so far behind, he has to make some big hits.
Well, no, he's so far behind now, he has no hope.
Yeah.
He's got no hope. Yeah. So there's just not enough racing left. You know, World Superbike ends.
Yeah, it is.
This will be it. So it is a doubles weekend. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Cool. I guess.
That's a race to watch.
Yeah.
All right. There was some news. Man, So we got plenty of time. So a couple pieces of news. I guess we'll start maybe MotoGP news that I saw. That it is now official. LCR Honda, Diego Maria from Moto2 is going to be moving up.
Which was rumored for a while.
Which was rumored, so that's official now.
Mm-hmm. Which I think in this case for him is a good move.
Yeah, I think so, especially with, like we were saying before, Honda seems to be making progress in the
They're ascending. They're right. ascending, and that's when you want to get on when they're ascending, not right. when they're declining.
Right, right. And he's young, so he can be there a couple of years.
Yeah, he can that definitely. he definitely can wait. And of course, none of us know what's going to look like when we go to the 800cc's. We have no clue. Is no. Ducati still going to be the dominating motorcycle at 800cc's? Nobody knows.
Yeah. Marquez had his surgery, right?
Did he have surgery? Right? I thought he was not having surgery.
Mark Marquez undergoes shoulder surgery at the Indonesian GP.
So that's interesting because he was not going to go through surgery. And when I said, I didn't think he'd make it back this season if he didn't. And then, so he listened to me and he said, well, I better go get a couple screws put in.
Yeah. It said he flew back
now, I
to
think he'll be back.
Spain and for a full medical examination and surgery, he's undergone a success. This is off of motorsport.com.
Okay.
Mark Marquez has undergone a successful operation at the Ruber International Hospital in Madrid.
So if he did the surgery, I think he will be back for the last two races of the season.
Yeah.
If he didn't, and they were just going to let it heal, which is the way it sounded last weekend, that they weren't going to do anything. They were just going to let it heal. So there's no way he was coming back this year. But now I think he'll race the last two races, and maybe that was the deciding factor, because maybe he said to the doctor, okay, we'll let it heal. So when can I get back to racing? Is it next week or the week after? The doctor said, no, 6 weeks. Yeah. And he said, no, 6 weeks, the season will be over. And he said, screw that thing together. Because I'm getting back to racing.
Get the crazy glue out and put that ligament back.
Yeah. Yeah. He wants to end the championship season with a victory, I'm sure.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Yeah. Right? Nobody likes
Well, that. Exactly. Who doesn't? But, you know, he's even more hyper in that way than most racers are.
Yeah.
You know?
So that was to me big news. But also big news is that Repsol is coming back to the World Championship. Looks like they're going to be the official lubricant of Moto2 and Moto3.
But not as a team sponsor.
But not, I don't see any.
They're going to be a series sponsor.
Yeah, I don't know how big of a series sponsorship that is. Everything's still
Well, if they don't name it after you, it's not that big, right?
Yeah, well, it's. I think still Liqui Moly has the sponsorship, so maybe we won't hear anything till the end of.
I definitely know they won't go back with Honda. That bridge is burned.
And Liqui Moly has decided to end their contract 2 years early, or have agreed to terminate their thing. So that must be quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's primarily to have signs put up around the track. That's what that's all about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
And get that, yep.
Which I'm sure someone said, hey, you know, we can't let Castrol dominate all the signs all the way around the...
Castrol and Liqui Moly, right?
Yeah, Castrol and Liqui Moly. Yeah, it's like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that's...
I don't see Repsol sponsoring a team in the foreseeable future. I don't see it.
Yeah, well, they
sunk a billion, they literally with $1 billion into Honda HRC.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why doesn't Musk have his own GP team?
That's
a billion would be nothing to him.
That's what I've been saying about all these big companies. Why isn't Amazon... I get it. You're the biggest company in the world. Why isn't Amazon sponsoring a bike? Why isn't Elon Musk, Tesla or SpaceX sponsoring a bike, or Elon Musk?
He can personally sponsor a bike. He's worth $500 billion. So
why isn't Marvel or Disney or, you know, I mean, there's so many big American companies. OnlyFans does and others don't.
If Disney was sponsoring a bike, you'd have to get a trans rider.
I don't care.
You don't care?
I don't care.
I don't think they have locker rooms that support that, but okay.
They don't have locker rooms.
They don't have locker rooms at all. They have their own trailers.
Right. I don't care.
It's a perfect solution.
Right. It's a perfect sport. Men and women compete at the same level, so it's fine.
Men and women and like, men. And-
right. Like racing is one. Racing, NASCAR, Formula One.
I think before we GP, do, I think before do we do that, we need to have a female racer at the premier level first. We have never had that.
What do you call Danny Pedrosa?
He's a femboy. There's a difference.
I mean, he only weighs like 35 pounds.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That's not a man. And well, I know they try to tell you like he weighs like 18 stone or 14 quid or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, 14 quid.
It don't matter to me.
I don't know. I would like to one day actually be able to have a conversation with Danny Pedrosa without having insulted him, but okay.
Yeah, I don't think so. That bridge has been crossed.
Well, you know, in World Super, Bautista's the same way. Right. I mean, they're about the same size.
Right. So like,
but maybe
like,
it's Barbara Tista and not Bautista.
Right.
Right.
There you go.
We're terrible.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying in motorcycle races, that doesn't bother me.
Well, I like I said, I
mean, it's an American, holy crap.
I don't know it bothers me. It's just that when you mentioned Disney, that's the first thing that came to mind. Sorry.
The only thing that would
Disney.
Bother me is that wasn't an American, and I'd be like, there are more trans riders in MotoGP than Americans. And that would piss me off. And it's not because I'd be pissed off about trans. I'd just be like,
no, they
America,
they,
where have you gone?
They should have to work their way up from the national
like everybody else,
first.
Right?
Like everybody else, exactly.
I'm fine with that.
Right.
I don't care if it's a if some woman comes out and races and it turns out she's a lesbian, does Phil care?
I back in the day, I thought maybe Elena Myers would be the first female American that would get a seat in Moto 2. We thought at one time, and
yeah, she had to try. Well, she got some testing done.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm going to say some hateful things here. I don't know if Kayla Yakov is fast enough.
She looks like she is. She competes with the guys. I mean, she's not a dominating figure, but she's a competitive figure.
I don't think, okay, and that's what I'm saying is the guys from Moto America in Supersport aren't getting moved over to World Supersport or Moto 3. Because they're not fast enough. I don't know if she's fast enough. If she was dominating those guys every round, then I'd say she'd get a long, hard look from some teams.
Yeah, I agree. But I think that if she got a seat in Moto 2, which would be the equivalent of Supersport, if she got a seat in Moto 2, I think it would garner a lot of attention, whether or not she would ever go anywhere.
But
so if you're trying to attract, hey, Liberty Media, if you're listening, if you want to attract people to the racing from an American standpoint, give Kayla Yakov a seat. That would definitely get the attention of some people.
You know, I think one of the things I think this year, she doesn't win the championship this year. I mean, I'm going to guess she's like 19-ish. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I think she's 19. I think you're right.
She's 18, 19.
Yeah.
So she's at that age
where something has to happen.
Where something has to happen, or she's just always going to be a Moto America runner.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
And yeah. And we know
I'm
how
not
that
trying
ends.
Trying to sound
we,
like
that. We know how that ends because of Elena Myers. Elena Myers was extremely competitive. And and then what happened? You get to a certain age, and then you go off and get married and have babies. That's what happened with Elena Myers.
That's not what.
But it's what happened with her.
No,
she did get married. She married a racer.
Yeah, but she left racing before that.
Well, it's about the same time. It was around the same time.
She
married. She was still racing when she got married. And then she quit the next season because he didn't want her getting injured. You know how that is, right?
I'd be like, what's your insurance like?
They don't write insurance for motorcycle races. I can tell you that.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I just feel like... I just feel like if she doesn't win and get an offer in the next 2 years, I don't think you're going to see her.
No, it doesn't. No, no. She gets over the age of 22. I don't think it happens.
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah. And I say the same thing about guys. So anybody who says that's just about women, that's not. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're an American man and you're not in Moto 2 or Moto 3 World Super Sport by the age of 21, 22,
yeah, but
you're probably not going to make it either.
Yeah, but I would say it's easier for a man older than 22 to get that opportunity. The problem is you're not going to get a good opportunity. Yes, you'll get into the series.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody can ride a junk bike.
I mean, when you look, Bouvier was older than that when he went over there and he was like in a dead end, right? That was a losing proposition.
Yeah, but
for
I
him.
Think I'm going to sound terrible when I say this. I think they were looking for somebody to develop the bike, and that's why they brought Bouvier.
It's quite possible. It's quite possible that that was what their intent was, but there was, okay. When you race in Moto America, I don't think you get those kind of development skills, right? There's one focus when you're in a series, and that is to win the championship and stuff like that. So nobody really gets those development type things. Plus, the other part of it is there's no value in what you learn on a super bike or a super sport bike in any under national series compared to going onto a prototype like in Moto 2.
Yeah.
That's a completely different beast.
Right. And I think that's why you got to be over there in Moto 3 at like 17.
Yeah. Or 17 or less. Yeah. 17, 16. Right. You could be 15, like, I think, is the minimum.
Right. And I think by 17, if you're not on a Moto 3 bike, you're behind the eight ball. And if you're not on a Moto 2 or a Moto or a super sport bike by 21, I think your days are kind of numbered.
And you kind of know what you're going to get as far as offers in the future, right? If you get onto a Moto 3 bike and you don't win or come in the top three, you're never going to get a decent ride in Moto 2. The teams that can't afford to pay you, right. And so
it's not even about we talk about all the teams that pay you. No, it's the teams that have the money to develop the bike.
Well, it's but there's nothing in Moto 2. Right? There's less. Yeah, but in Moto 2, there's not that much development that you can do with the bike.
Yeah, but still, certain teams dominate every year, and it's because they have the best crew chiefs. They have the best.
I don't think the best system.
The only
bike manufacturer that in Moto 2 that I think that ever was
dominating
at all. I'm just talking with team. Okay, that was. It was the KTM team. It's the only one that I can think in Moto 2 has got a consistent history of victories and championships is KTM. All the rest of them are sprinkled all over the place. If you go look at it, they're all over the place. I just don't think that to me is better management than it is really the product.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like it's not to me, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and I'm sure there are people that listen to the show might have a better input or different team, but like, okay, I see Mark VDS, I think is a good team.
Yep.
I agree. Pramac Yamaha, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is a good team. And I just kind of look and I go, okay, these are teams where I think, man, you got a shot at winning. You got a chance at winning on. And if you go over and you go to some, you go to some team like AGR Team Foodsport, I've never even heard of.
Yeah, but those are brand new teams, and they're not going to be competitive for years. And you go to a brand new team. It takes years to be able to. Mark VDS has been around for, 14 years, something like that. So they go back into the 250 days before there was even a motive.
Yeah,
so,
well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I think the companies that make that kind of commitment and financing to do it, it's like when Mark Marquez was in Moto 2 back when Honda was providing the engines, remember, for Moto 2?
Yeah, yeah.
He was riding on the Repsol team in Moto 2. There is no Repsol team, and there hasn't been a Repsol team for quite some time, right?
Wasn't that Mark VDS Honda?
No. No. Mark VDS is a separate team. Yeah, it's different. But those are the teams that are well enough financed that they can survive these long droughts. And it's even worse now because they don't get nearly as much a piece of the revenue anymore. So,
yeah,
but it's like, I don't know, but if you really want to have to have a real career, you got to work your way up from Moto 3 to Moto 2 to Moto
G. Yeah, and you got to get a good Moto 2 ride so that you don't look like a buffoon.
Yeah, I don't know. There. I mean, yeah, but I think there's a lot. They're talking about making Moto 3 like Moto 2. That's what the future of Moto 3 is, where it's going to be one motor manufacturer and a limited number of frame manufacturers, no manufactured direct manufacturer. Yeah,
so then it comes down. So then it comes down to things outside of the
bike. Yeah, it's there's not that much you can do. There's not that much you can do with the bike.
Yeah, but there is. You can have a better team with a better coach, a better game plan.
Yeah,
then it becomes personnel.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if you're Kayla Yakov and you don't go to somebody with good personnel, look at PJ Jacobson. He was on a team with good personnel, switched to a team with bad personnel, and he faded from being known. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's
what money brings you, right? You can attract talent, right?
Right. And I'm not trying to poop on anybody in this conversation, right?
Yeah.
I love PJ Jacobson. I love watching race. I think he's fast. Mm-hmm. I think he's exciting to watch. I think Kayla Yakov is fast. I think she's not. I don't think any American's fast enough that they're getting looks for a super sport, World Super Sport, or Moto 3. And it's not just her, right?
No, and actually, of any of the people that I thought would get a look because he's got the experience on the world scene, he's been on most of these tracks, there would have been PJ Jacobson.
PJ Jacobson.
Yeah.
I was thinking we had
more than anybody else. PJ Jacobson more than anybody else.
Yeah, yeah. There was also a lot of talk about, I remember Uribe went over and raced in Europe for a while.
Uribe's still, to this day, he's still doing well. So.
He's still well, but he's not, he didn't get that, hey, no, he's come never ride get, our Moto 2.
He's not going to.
Andrew Lee was a guy who came up with a lot out of the amateur ranks with a lot of fanfare and nothing. Tyler Scott needs to be moving on. Right, like if Tyler Scott doesn't go in the next year or two, Tyler Scott's not going.
I think it's probably too late already.
It might be too late.
I think it's too late.
I see there being.
I think. Let me say something. This may be a little bit controversial, not to you, but to some people, and that is, I think that if when a seat becomes available, I think most of the teams are European run. And they will
go out of their way
to overlook American riders before they pick an American rider.
I don't think they go out of their way. I think they do exactly what we do. But well, these are the guys I watch. That guy's fast, right? Like, okay, if I had $1 billion,
that's kind of obvious.
Right? But if I had a billion dollars and I had a MotoGP team, I wouldn't be picking some guy from Spain I've never seen race. I'd be like, hey, PJ Jacobson's available. Hey.
No, I'm not saying that. Okay. You
know, Kayla Yakov is.
Wind the clock back 15 years.
Yeah.
15 years ago, they would watch very closely AMA racing, and they would do that looking for the potential people that were out there.
Okay.
That's how Nicky Hayden got his ride on the world scene. That's how Ben Spies got his ride. And that's the way Colin Edwards got his ride. They all did. You don't see that anymore. I don't think they're looking for that new upcoming talent on the American side anymore. I really do think it's purposeful. And well, the reason is, I do think it's purposeful. That's my opinion.
So a couple guys... Well, I think maybe only two Americans got picked for the MotoGP Rookies Cup. Mm-hmm. Hank Vosburgh and Ella Drea, I might be butchering that, are going to Spain. I know they had like six people that made the cut to try and race in, right?
Right.
That were some form of have some connection to Moto America. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm not blaming Moto America.
It's not Moto America. That's not a Moto America thing. Now it could be a Moto America thing, but it's not their fault. If they're overlooking Moto America from a series standpoint, then it's a different matter. They're basically saying we don't respect it, the series.
Yeah. I don't think that's it. I think it's, you know, I jokingly say it on the show and I hope people know it's a show joke when I say God bless America, no place else, even though it's not true. No, But you know what I mean? Like, I think a Spanish company wants a Spanish guy. It's better for everything, right? Like, hey, I'm sponsoring this Spanish guy. he's here close to home. He can do events. He can be with.
I think in general that's a fair
statement.
But
it's also right. It's also
in general a fair statement. But yeah. You need to look at this, okay? From a Ducati standpoint, non-Italians have won more races on a Ducati than Italians.
Okay.
Their first championship was with an Australian.
Okay. But, okay.
And they're winning with a Spaniard now.
You're not looking at it the same way as I am.
Okay.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say is, I'm going to sound like a jerk for a minute, right? And I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but if I was in Italy, Spain is just two states away. That'd be like, am I picking a Jersey rider or am I picking a Massachusetts rider?
To be honest with you, I think it's actually quite, it's a little bit even different than you're kind of doing. You're saying because of locality, Spain isn't very far from Italy. It's not like Italy, going to America,
how much
right?
You want to bet in Italy they get to watch the Spanish racing series on TV? Because motorcycle racing is more popular.
I mean, let's put a little logic to this. Okay, if I'm spending hundreds of millions of dollars to sponsor a MotoGP team or a Moto2 team or Moto3 team, whatever I'm doing, right? Maybe all three. Mm-hmm. What's my number one thing I want to get? Okay, I want to pick who I think is the most talented rider out there. I don't care about his nationality. That's what Ducati's done. Bagnaia is the only one that's the only Italian that's consistently won. Dovizioso won some.
Okay, but didn't get a
championship.
That's different, right? Because because they're still marketable. They still have a fan base.
I know that, but you know what do you think is number one for Ducati? Do you think it's how many T-shirts and other sort of accessories and things like that a rider is going to sell?
No,
or it's
How much television
time? I mean, you think about that, right? You think about that. Mark Marquez clearly was a great pick for Ducati for that reason, right?
Right. How much television time? That's racing. Racing is how much can I get my brand on television? That's every form of racing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I agree 100%.
So Mark Marquez, Spanish or not, gets the most television time.
Yep, exactly. That's why I said, but the reason he gets that, right, is because of his track record.
But he came in when he got his shot, he wasn't on an Italian team. He was on a Japanese team. Whatever.
Yeah, Japanese. Right?
But I'm just saying, I think being an ocean away from a majority of the teams is I don't think our guys are getting looks. I think the tracks are so different.
Well, then they should talk to the Japanese because the Japanese have a history of 40 years of picking riders outside of Japan. They always pick a Japanese rider to ride.
But I'm not, in some stand,
but when they, but their but lead riders always is always not Japanese.
I think you're seeing is not hatred towards America. Just our tracks are way different, right? Every rider I've ever talked to.
And our riding style is way different.
Right.
And our riding style is way different.
So it's hard to judge what's going to, when was America
dominant? All those things were true.
When we were sending guys who are flat track racers. We don't have flat track racers racing anymore.
No, but all that stuff was true going back to Nicky Hayden and Ben Spies. Okay, yeah. So all that stuff was true, right? They were riding. No, Nicky grew up on tracks that were nothing like European tracks and did all stuff. Like Nicky Hayden was extremely successful.
But both of them did flat track racing too.
I get that, but what I'm saying is they were successful, even though they grew up on American tracks. They were successful on European tracks. Ben Spies instantly was successful when he went over. You remember when he left? AMA, he went right to. World Superbike and won the championship his first year.
Yeah. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying that was 15 years ago and a lot has changed.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what's changed. What's really changed? I mean, the tracks certainly didn't change that much in America. And I know the tracks changed that much in Europe. I mean, yeah, they change tracks all the time, but they still kind of keep the same philosophy on the way they build the track.
Changed a lot. We're not running well.
COTA might be an example of that because COTA was built around the idea that they wanted to be able to attract F1. So I'll give COTA that. But a lot of the tracks that AMA races on are not. Mid-Ohio is definitely not changed much at all, right?
So they haven't run in Mid-Ohio in like 10 years.
Well, I mean, okay, but I can think of other tracks like that in the U.S. that haven't really changed. What about VIR? That's not comparable to a European track.
We've lost Mid-Ohio, right? And I'm not saying that. I'm saying right now, I think owners in other places look at our teams and are like, oh, hey, this guy should be fast, and they don't know how to judge it because they don't know how to compare it. Right? You don't have, it's not like, man, he used to take speeds to the limit, because 15 years ago, some of our guys weren't even born.
It may not be anti-American stuff, but it may be a thought that if I get an American rider, he's not going to bring with him a lot of the things that a European rider will bring.
Right. Sponsorship and fans.
Yeah. And that could be what it is, but it is what it is.
Superbike likes America so much, they're not even broadcast here.
If you leave it like it is, it won't change. If you want to get America's, if you want America's attention, put more Americans in the seats. You'll get more attention from America.
I don't know if they want it though. Libra, the changes.
Don't know. I mean, Liberty Media should say we America, and they've said it. America is a really important market to us. We need to make sure that we're able to do that. Well, that's the only way you're going to change it.
Well, and they're implementing changes. I don't know if they're good or bad.
Nikki Hayden brought more Americans into both World Superbike and MotoGP racing than any American has in recent years.
Yeah.
Just that, period. So if Liberty Media looks Liberty at Bibbidi. That. Yeah, Liberty Bibbidi. If Liberty Media just looks at the history of what riders like Nikki Hayden and Ben Spies did for the American market, they'll say, well, of course, there's a drought now. How are we going to capture Americans? You know, Garrett Gerloff, great, but, you know, get Garrett Gerloff on the best bike. It's not comparative right now. Mid-pack's not going to pull people out. They want to see Americans win. You always want to see Americans win if you're an American.
Yeah.
We get tired of winning, so we have to get tired of it.
We're going to be doing so much winning, we get tired of it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm not even sure who I'm quoting, Trump or Charlie Sheen.
yeah, right. Yeah.
I mean, just look at all the great interviews you could have. You could have like Charlie Sheen being like, "Woo, I want to party like Charlie Sheen." But we're not. We're just a mess. And I don't think it's Moto America's fault. I don't know. I don't think
it's Moto America's fault.
I think it's our companies here.
I'll be honest with you, given what the current circumstance is, the fact that Moto America has survived is a miracle. It's great.
I think
they're doing great things. I don't know that you could ask them to do any more, to be honest.
No, but I look like okay, I can't think of it. His name just slipped my freaking mind. That had the Marlboro sponsorship, right? We don't have that anymore.
No.
Right? No, we don't have big American companies with millions of dollars.
You know why? Because we're still too politically correct in this country.
But I don't even mean cigarettes. I just mean
American. I'm not talking about cigarettes. Anything that's even remotely.
Where's a Budweiser sponsorship?
Exactly. Anything that's even remotely tied to any kind of vice, even three steps back remotely, companies in America won't touch it. They're all afraid. Yeah. They're all afraid.
Where's the big money? You know, FedEx, UPS, these companies have billions.
FedEx can't afford it. UPS could afford it. But, you know, Tesla, GM, you know, Delco.
The only one we got is OnlyFans?
Pretty much. I mean, Delco has been supporting motorsports for 40-some years, something like that.
And then, I know somebody's going to say Red Bull and
Monster,
right?
Well, they do, but they're not they do at the team level, right? Yeah. Monster was a Yamaha sponsor for a long time, right? Red Bull was a Honda,
Jack Repsol Daniels?
Hondas. They were the second number two sponsor on Repsol Honda was Red Bull.
I follow the Captain Morgan.
Now Red Bull's KTM. And now Red Bull's KTM, which is probably the only thing that's keeping that team afloat. So,
yeah, I you know, but like, I just feel like the American, the American sponsors are putting no pressure on to have American riders.
No, no, absolutely not.
And I think that's because I don't know whether it's wokeness where it's like, well, that's not being fair to the rest of the world, or whether the team managers are coming up and saying, well, I don't know if the Americans fast because we can't judge that.
I'll bet you if you talk to Red Bull or Monster, what they would tell you is that we don't need to attract American fans to your sport because we already have the bulk of American people drinking our drinks, right?
Yeah.
But we can always spread, but we want to become more saturated in Europe, and therefore we're not going to pick an American.
What about the Chick-fil-A bike?
Well, that's actually a point, right? I would love to see somebody riding the Nugget. He's riding the Nugget.
Give me a number two sandwich, right?
Yeah. So.
But you know,
I don't think we're going to change it. But is this like going to be like a record length show?
I apparently must have hit the button to.
I was looking at the time and I said, "Oh my God, it's six after the hour."
Yeah. Anyways, this has been the Doghouse here on ndnradio.com. I'm even going to end the music out early. We'll figure it out. We'll be back next week. I have no idea where Warren was. If anybody wants to know, I don't know. Anyways,
he was arrested for public nudity, I think.
Yeah, I hope so. He shouldn't be nude in public. We'll be back next week. We got a doubles weekend, MotoGP and World Superbike.
Yee-hoo!